Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
And sing with all your might when you have something to sing about. And we certainly have something to sing about this Christmas season. I love that song, People Like You and Me. Do you remember that? That song we just sang a moment ago, People Like You and Me. Guys, that's the truth of the gospel. Listen to me. I know sometimes we think I'm not smart enough, or I'm not rich enough, or I'm not good enough. We come up with all these things that we are not enough of. But let me say, Christ is enough. He came for all who will believe on His name. He's no respecter of persons, the King James Version says. In other words, He doesn't play favorites. He comes to all men, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of intellect, regardless of nationality and language. Jesus Christ breaks down every barrier and crosses all borders. That is the Christ that we sing about this morning. And just as we just sing the big idea, the theme, joyful and triumphant in Christ, there is true joy and there is true triumph. Listen, I don't know what you're facing. You might be facing a depressing season. You very well might be. I just found out 2 days ago that my great uncle up in Louisville, Kentucky died. And I know right now my great aunt Barbara is facing a very difficult Christmas. But she's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she knows that her husband was too, and that he was joyful and triumphant as he went to be with the Lord. And she can be joyful and triumphant in the Lord this season. We'll bury him this Wednesday. And so I pray that you'd be praying for the Keyser family as we go through that time. But everyone, I don't care what you're facing, death, sickness, loss of finances, resources, Jesus is all. He is all. And He gives us plenty of reason to sing this morning. What I want to communicate to you this morning is a really simple idea. A really simple idea. It's this. It's simple, but it's of greatest importance. I mean, there are things that are simple that aren't very important. But what I'm going to tell you today is simple, yet incredibly important. It's this: Jesus was born so that we might be born again. Jesus was born so that we might be born again. Stand with me if you would, please. Turn to the book of Matthew. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. You'll see here, Jesus was born so that we could be born again. Matthew chapter 1, the 18th verse. Matthew 1, the 18th verse, reading through the 25th verse. This is the story of the conception and birth of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and how it just freshly, every time we read it, opens up the history of the world to us, Lord. so that we might rightly understand what's going on right now in 2009, almost 2010. Father, I pray that this morning we would see Christ and we would see Him as the one that was born so that we could be born again. Father, we thank You for Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Be seated here. So, Jesus was born so that we could be born again. We're going to break that big idea down in its two parts. First, let's look at this. Jesus was born. And that's basically what we have here. And we have a telling of the birth of Christ. Jesus was born. Now, at first glance, someone might say that statement in itself isn't really any big deal. Jesus was born. I mean, lots of babies are born, aren't they? Every day, I mean, something like 255 babies are born every minute in the world. That's a lot of babies. There are over 6.6 billion people on the face of this earth, and every one of them had a birth at one point. You were born. I was born. But, oh dear one, I pray that you would look again at that statement. Jesus was born. You see, Jesus wasn't just some ordinary baby. Our passage here gives us three truths about Jesus that distinguish Him from other births, from your birth, from my birth. He's different from any other baby, past or future. So let's look at this. Three truths this morning. Jesus was born. The first truth that we see about Jesus in this passage is that Jesus was conceived by a virgin or in a virgin. Matthew tells us in verse 18, you'll see it on your screen there. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. Notice that, underline that in your mind. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now without getting too much into biology here this morning, let me just say that it is naturally impossible for a virgin girl to become pregnant. Naturally impossible. That's why when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son, it confounded her. It confused her. It didn't add up to what the angel was saying. She answered the angel back there in Luke 1, verse 34. She answered the angel back and questioned him, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And I'd have to agree with her, that's a valid question. I mean, absolutely, that's a valid question. Joseph thought he had it all figured out as well. You know, you flip back to Matthew and you see Joseph and the way he was processing all this. "Joseph, I have something to tell you," Mary told him, I'm sure. Something along these lines. "I'm pregnant. But listen to me, honey, I'm a virgin. God has done something miraculous in me." But Joseph thought he had it all figured out. He thought, "Virgin? Yeah, right. I mean, how could you do this to me? I mean, you're betrothed to me. You're engaged to me. Soon you will be my wife. And you've given yourself to another man?" All of that is what was going on in his mind. But if you look there in the verse there, verse 19, "Being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace Mary, Joseph planned to send her away secretly." He was going to break it off. He was going to break off the engagement, the betrothal. But he's going to do it secretly. He didn't want to disgrace her. He loved her, didn't he? But I want you to see something here. At that moment, the Bible says right here, it says right here that when he had considered this, it's almost like that moment when the thought came into his mind, all of a sudden, that very moment, that night, that day, Joseph, as he went to sleep, the Bible says that an angel of the Lord broke in his sleep during a dream, appeared to him in a dream. Look at verse 20. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Mary had indeed told Joseph the truth. She said, "I'm a virgin." And she was. She was And Joseph did just what the Lord, through the angel, had told him to do. Look at verse 24 and 25. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I wonder this morning, does the virgin conception and the birth of Jesus seem impossible to you? It very well might. Listen, for many skeptics, for many people around the world, even some of those who claim to be Christian, the virgin birth, it's just too much for them. They say, that's impossible. It cannot happen that way. And I must say, naturally, they are right. It is impossible for a virgin to conceive a baby in her womb naturally. Naturally. Virgins don't naturally have babies. But we're not dealing with natural here, are we? We're not dealing with natural. We're dealing with the supernatural. You see, the conception of Jesus is miraculous. It's a miracle. Check this out. The last words of the angel to Mary in Luke, when he had announced the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Look at what it says. For nothing will be impossible with God. Say that with me this morning. Say that with me. For nothing. Let's try it again. Repeat after me. Let's do that. For nothing will be impossible with God. I love that, dear ones. The God who made the universe, placed the planets, the stars, the satellites around those planets, the rings, the galaxies on top of galaxies. The God who made the birds and the elephants and the tigers. The God that made trees. And we could just go on and on. The God that made you and me. I declare to you today that it is a small thing for our amazing God to break in and conceive a baby in the womb of a virgin. It's a small thing for him to do that. He's done greater and more magnificent, more miraculous things than that. Yet he did that. That's exactly what God did in Mary's womb. So the first truth that I want you to see about Jesus from this passage this morning is that Jesus was conceived by a virgin. Secondly, though, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Mary's one side of the conception, but as with all conceptions, there's another side as well. Mary's the mother of Jesus, but who was the father? Who was the father? We get our answer in verse 18. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. We also get it in verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus' father was none other than God himself. It would happen this way according to the angel who was speaking to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel told her, here's how it's going to happen, Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. You see, in some miraculous, non-sexual way, and let me be clear with that, it was a non-sexual conception. Be clear about that. In no way did it have anything to do with that, right? In some miraculous, non-sexual way, God took an egg in Mary's womb and fertilized it and infused it with deity and humanity together in one person. I don't know how he did it. He did it. He's God, right? With God, all things are possible. There's nothing impossible with God. Jesus was God in the flesh. That's why John says in John 1:14, John says it this way, and the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and mercy. That's why Matthew says that Jesus fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. Look at Matthew 1, 22 and 23 in our text this morning. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This is Isaiah here. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So here we have the full person of Christ. The Bible says that he's fully God and he is fully man. I know in Baptist churches we don't recite creeds very often. In some ways that's a great shame. But there was an important creed that came out around year 451. That was a long time ago, I know. But it still stands today as the orthodox, the true creed concerning the person of Christ. It's called the Chalcedonian Creed, and it captures the true biblical understanding of the person of Christ. I want to read it to you this morning, and I want it just to sink in. There's going to be a lot said here, but I want you to just sink in. How is it that all this fits together? Humanity and deity together in one. He is the God-man. Listen to what it says. Therefore, following the Holy Fathers, we all with one accord teach men to acknowledge one and the same Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at once complete in Godhead and complete in manhood, truly God and truly man, consisting also of a reasonable soul and body, of one substance with the Father as regards his Godhead, and at the same time of one substance with us as regards his manhood. Like us in all respects, apart from sin. For us, like us in all respects, apart from sin, as regards to his Godhead, begotten of the Father before the ages, but yet as regards his manhood, begotten for us men and for our salvation, of the Virgin Mary, the God-bearer, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, recognized in two natures, without confusion, without change, without division, without separation, the distinction of natures being in no way annulled by the union, but rather the characteristics of each nature being preserved and coming together to form one person and one substance, not as parted or separated in two persons, but one and the same Son and only begotten God, the Word, Lord Jesus Christ, even as the prophets from earliest times spoke of him, and our Lord Christ himself taught us, and the creed of our fathers has been handed down to us. Man, that is a mouthful, but it's true. It emphasizes, it encapsulates the full teaching of the person of Christ. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and conceived in the Virgin Mary, fully God and fully man. That's the second truth. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But finally, the third truth that I want you to see this morning is this. Jesus was his name. Jesus was his name. Now, Joseph and Mary, they didn't do like we do. When Christy and I, when we named Elijah, we had a marker board there in our kitchen back in Crofton, and we just wrote down names. And we would try them out for a while, and eventually we would cross one out. A lot of times she would come and cross one out. I had all these great names that just didn't make the cut, all right? And I said, this one sounds great. Or when we think of names, we say, well, who can we name this child after in our family? Maybe you named your child after someone in the family. Maybe you have some juniors in your family. Or maybe you took your grandma's name and made it a middle name or something like that. Or we say, what name sounds good? Sometimes we make names that way, right? I know, like with Christy, with Zachariah, you know, we sort of mixed the two there. She just loved the name Zachariah and had always wanted to name a boy that because she loved the way it sounded. And then we took James, Zachariah, James, after me and my dad and her dad and my grandpa and everybody's named James in our families. Somehow, some way, James gets put in there. That's just how it is. Maybe you have that name in your family as well. Or maybe we go to the meaning of the name. And I think this really is the reason why God gave the name Jesus to Jesus. Mary and Joseph didn't just pick this name out of the air. You see, an angel was very specific. Look at verse 21. She shall bear a son, This is the angel speaking to her, to Joseph. And you shall call his name what? Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. In English, we say Jesus. In the Greek, it was Jesus. In Hebrew, it's Yehoshua or Yeshua. You say it different ways. But it means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. I declare to you that there are many babies today that have been born, that will be born, that will be named Jesus, especially in the Hispanic communities. There are a lot of baby Jesuses in the Hispanic community. But I want to declare to you that there is only one baby who is truly salvation, only one Jesus who is truly salvation. And that leads us to the second part this morning of our big idea. Jesus was born so that you and I, so that we could be born again. So that we could be born again. You see, you and I have a problem. And maybe this is an ugly way of saying it. But you and I, at birth, are morally stillborn. I know that's an ugly way of saying it, but that's what the Bible says. Basically, at birth, you and I are morally, not physically. We're alive, but at birth we are morally stillborn. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says it this way. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's what I mean by stillborn. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And then notice this, and we're by nature. By nature, that means we're born with it. By nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. You see, the first man, our federal head, our representative in the Garden of Eden, God put Adam in the garden, and then he made Eve, and the Bible says that Adam sinned. And when he sinned, all of his posterity, all of his descendants, you and me, were counted as sinful. We inherited that sin nature. And that nature, it says right here, it causes us to be rebels against God. We're sons of disobedience. We're by nature children of wrath. Listen to me, I don't know about you, but before I came to Christ, I really wanted nothing to do with Christ. You know, there's sort of a myth that goes on in the world today that there are people in other places of the world who are dying to know what we know. That's not true. Before you come to Christ, you hate God. They're not beating down our church's doors saying, give me Jesus. They're saying, I don't want Jesus. They're rebelling against Jesus. They hate Jesus. I hated Jesus before he saved me. But the truth is, they are literally dying because they don't know what we know. Oh, dear ones, listen to me. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And we have a message. Christ came. We have a problem because we are morally dead in Christ. Or we're morally dead apart from Christ. But in Christ. But in Christ. It's a totally different story. You see, Jesus came and was born so that you and I could be born again. The Gospel of John says it this way. These are the words of Jesus. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly I say to you, unless one is, notice this, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? In other words, how can I get back in my mama's womb? I mean, that's impossible, Jesus. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Church, I declare to you, Jesus Christ died. He came and was born. He took on flesh and dwelt among us. He took the cross for us. He was resurrected as a sign to us that through Christ we can be born again. We can be born again. Though we're born morally dead, morally corrupt, apart from God, deserving His wrath. Listen to me this morning. God says you must be born again. In a flash of an eye, God will open your eyes. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not born of the flesh, Jesus says, but born from above, right? Born from above, born of God. And when that happens, you get a new heart. When that happens, you come to Christ. You see Him as He is. You see Him for what He is. And I pray this morning that God would work in your life and you would be born again. Listen to me this morning. As I say these words, I want to tell you this morning that you have no other hope except in Christ. Your sin, you do not want to pay for them yourself. Trust me. If you don't believe me, read the Bible. If you don't believe me, ask another Christian. They will tell you, you don't want to pay for your sin yourself. But the truth of the gospel is you don't have to. You don't have to. Christ died on that cross for all who will believe on Him. If you will place your faith, if you will turn from your sin and place your faith in Christ, the Bible says sin paid for, debt canceled, born again, life everlasting. I wonder this morning, do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that you're apart from God without Christ? If you know that this morning, then the Holy Spirit is beginning to open your eyes. Praise God that you see that. Praise God that He has shown you that. The question is now, do you want Jesus? Listen, it's one thing to want to go to heaven. It's another thing to want to live for Jesus and love Jesus. And so that's the question this morning. Do you understand you're a sinner? Good if you do. But here's the next step. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to turn to Him and give your life to Him? This morning, maybe you've already done that. I pray that you have. And if you've done that already this morning, I pray that that would lead you to rejoicing, because in Christ you are joyful and triumphant. But if you've not this morning, I just want to be serious with you. I want to be straightforward with you. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. And there's no other Savior except Jesus Christ. Won't you come to Him this morning? Won't you come to Him? Leave your sin behind. Turn from your sin. Hate your sin. And love Jesus. He died so that you might be saved. He was born so that you could be born again. New life, new creation, life everlasting. Won't you do that this morning? This morning, may we cherish Christ. May we love Christ. May we marvel at the birth of Christ, because He came to be born so that we could be born again.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.